read the text. Numbers chapter 15, verse 27 through 31. Numbers 15, verse 27 through 31. Numbers 15. If one person sins unintentionally, he shall offer a female goat, a year old, for a sin offering. And the priest shall make atonement before the Lord for the person who makes a mistake when he sins unintentionally to make atonement for him, and he shall be forgiven. You shall have one law for him who does anything unintentionally, for him who is native among the people of Israel, and for the stranger who sojourns among you. Okay, so unintentional sin, is it still sin? Yes. Does something die because of it? Yes. Is there a price to be paid? Yes. Well, look at verse 30. There's a but here, right? In our Wednesday night series, we're looking for those terms of contrast, terms of conclusion. Here's the term of contrast. But the person who does anything with a high hand, whether he's native or sojourner, reviles the Lord. And that person shall be cut off from among his people. Because he has despised the word of the Lord, there it is again, and has broken his commandment, that person shall be utterly cut off. His iniquity shall be on him. I love to talk about Romans chapter 5 and the fact that we stand in grace, and we do. But I will tell you something. No one stands in grace and does not bow the knee to God. Open rebellion is never accepted by God. Open rebellion despises God in our age, despises Jesus Christ, and for it there is no forgiveness. Now, I intentionally said that. Yes, you can be forgiven. But you can't be forgiven if you got a whole lot of repenting to do. You got a whole lot of changing to do if you just say to God, I know you don't want me to do that, I'm going to do it anyway. The problem is and is not the individual sin. The problem is the attitude. The problem is to say, I've lowered God to somebody I can just disobey. I have no fear of God. I have no consequences for God. You think about what Moses did. I can raise myself a little bit. I can bring God down, and all of a sudden, I'm doing what I want. All of a sudden, I'm equating myself with God. My will becomes God's will. Must we bring water from this rock? That not only elevates me, by definition, it despises God. Reviles the Lord is the phrase there in Numbers. Not only despises, reviles the Lord. Do we need to constantly be reminded that our God is a consuming fire? Yes. Do we need to constantly be reminded that He deserves our worship in reverence and awe? Yes. Should we give God the glory? Yes. Should we elevate Him? Yes. Must we never bring Him down? Also yes. What did Joseph understand about his sin? Joseph understood about his sin that it was against God. What this sacrifice in the book of Numbers tells us is that when I know what is right to do and I do the wrong anyway, I revile the Lord and I despise Him. You're thinking that's harsh language. It's intentionally harsh language. We need to see it that way. And we need to understand that we have a responsibility to rebuke those who despise God. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. The problem for the soldier that's going to Afghanistan, the problem for the slave who's sent away from the land of Canaan into Egypt, is the feeling that I'm so far away that no one will know. I'm so far away that there will be no consequences. Well, let me tell you something. We can live in a society that so despises God, so removes God from it, that people think they can just do what they want and there will be no consequences. And let me tell you something. This is where we as a church and we as ministers and we as parents have a special responsibility to not fall into that trap. It is my responsibility to rebuke those who are in sin. And when I say mine, I don't mean me as a preacher. I mean me as a parent, me as a Christian. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 16. And if you're very familiar with these Old Testament prophets, God is constantly sending messages to these prophets, and talking to the leaders of Israel, how they had failed, how the shepherds of Israel failed, how they eat the fat, how they slaughter the lambs, and how they on and on do what is wrong. Well, look at Jeremiah 23 and verse 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those, now watch this next phrase here. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. Sound familiar? High-handed sin? God forbid that I ever get in a situation where I have someone who's in known sin and I say, eh, no problem. Nothing's going to happen. Where is this coming he spoke of, 2 Peter chapter 3? It's been so since the fathers. God is not real. God is not alive. God does not work in our lives. God will not punish me. God is all grace and love and no severity. Am I giving God the glory? Or am I bringing him down and I'm bringing him down and I'm bringing him down? And before long, he's somebody I don't even have to pay attention to. This was the problem. By saying there will be no consequences, is saying there is no power. I'm not regarding God as holy. I don't understand his sinlessness, his righteousness, before which I fall woefully short. I brought God down. I despised him. I made him just like me or you. You're not the boss of me. Look at what the rest of the text says. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word, or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Let me tell you what he's saying right there. These are lies, and they ought to know better. Have they not read the law of Moses, morons? That's what he's saying. Behold, the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he is executed and accomplish the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. A storm is coming. Upon whom? Upon the very ones who the religious leaders of the day said, no storm is coming. Not only are the religious leaders going to be destroyed, but those who despise God will be destroyed. And how do I despise God? I do so in sin. For just a moment, let's open our New Testaments, Ephesians chapter 5. We must understand what Joseph understood. We must understand what David came to know, that we cannot do these things and sin against God. That unlike the prophets of Israel, there will be consequences. If I come before God with a high hand and I know what is right and what is wrong and I do the opposite of that, I can bet that I will understand it as time goes by. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, we'll read through verse 6. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now here comes this list of sins. What do these sins do if I engage them? They despise God. They don't despise my parents. They don't despise the preacher. They don't despise the church. They despise God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this. And I feel here that Paul has Jeremiah 23 in mind. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. God says, don't listen to these false prophets in Israel when they tell you there are no consequences. Paul says the very same thing. No one who despises God, no one who comes before God with their face raised and says, and looks directly into the eyes of God and says, Lord, I know you said this is wrong. I'm going to do it anyway. You will be cast out from the presence of God in the same way that the sojourner or the Israelite was cast out from the camp. Is it serious? Yes. Can I just engage in those sins and think no consequence will happen? I hope you don't die tonight. I hope you don't die tonight. If you're given to drunkenness or to sexual immorality or to covetousness or wrath or division, if you're given to those things and you just think, well, I'll just skate along. I'm young and I'm good looking and I'm going to do all these things, and when I'm old, I'm broke down, that's when I'll repent. Right as I die, I'm going to treat God. He says if I repent and confess, he's got to forgive me. I've got that little ticket in my back pocket. I'm going to be on my dying bed. Lord, please forgive me. I repent. And Jesus is Lord. Amen. The end of one day. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. You think you can live your whole life despising the Lord and then trick him into getting in? Let no one deceive you with empty words. James chapter 5, verse 19 through 20. My brothers, if anyone is among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. What happens to the Christian who wanders away? If he doesn't come back, he's separated from God and he goes to eternal destruction. Talking about God. Don't despise him by engaging in sin. And finally, there's hope in this lesson. In Isaiah chapter 53, I think that could be said anytime we read this verse. Isaiah 53. This was a little bit of a surprise to me I started this lesson, you notice I haven't read it from Numbers. I actually started this lesson all about that verse. And then when I put the lesson together, I didn't even have the version numbers in the lesson. It just happens sometimes. And part of it was because I was so overcome with how this phrase I was fixated on in study about despising the Lord, how it fit into Isaiah 53. And I thought, hey, you know what? That word is used in there. So what does it tell us? What does it tell us? What was the great sin of David? He despised God. Against whose sin would Joseph have been? It would have been against God. I should not be deceived. My sin is going to send me to hell. Why? Because it despises God. Because it lowers God. And to God give the glory. What was God willing to do for me? What was Jesus willing to do for me? He was willing to be despised. The great horror, the great sin of not hallowing or not regarding God as holy. Jesus came down and he wallowed in my filth so that I could be forgiven. You know this. We've read this verse 1,000 times. There's a reason for that. It's one of the great pinnacles of Scripture. Jesus was willing to be the man. The man of sin. When Nathan pointed at David and said, you're the man. Christ was willing to go to the cross and be that man. And suffer that consequence of high-handed sin. Of people who knew God and despised him anyway. Of people that would know Jesus, who would want the forgiveness of sins and would continue to sin anyway. Isaiah 53, verse 3 through 6. He was despised. There's the word. You knew it was there, right? Even if you didn't remember the verse word for word, you knew it was there. He was despised and rejected by men, A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Are you going to go to that Jesus who came down from heaven and died on the cross for your sins and say, I appreciate that and everything, Jesus, but I'm going to continue in this sin you died for? What's Paul said? You've heard every preacher in the world quote to you in Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Shall we continue in sin the grace of man? God forbid. Why? Because sin despises God, and more importantly, I spit on the sacrifice of his son. To come in and say, I want the benefits that you give me, Christ. I want the forgiveness of your blood. I want to be able to stand justified before a holy God because of what you've done. And what he did is he allowed himself to be despised. By his stripes I am healed. Can I then turn around and say to that same Jesus, I'm going to engage in the sin for which you died. I despise him again. I despise his father. I do it with a high hand, and I need not expect that I'll be welcomed home. I need not expect that I'll be welcomed into the heavenly abode of God. What happened to the one who sinned and teached him? He was cast out from his people. Where am I today? Let's take time to reverence God. Let's take time to think about the holiness of God. It should bring us to tears. Well, when I realize how sinful I am and how weak I am and how many times I fail, and God loves me anyway. That's hard for us, right? That's what Peter wanted to know. Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother? 7 times. Peter thought he was just being the most magnanimous guy in the world. I, Jesus, am willing to forgive my brother 7 times. Jesus basically said, you have no idea what you're talking about. Because you creatures despise me in ways you will never know many times a day. And we understand it from a human instinct, right? If someone sins against me and sins against me and sins against me, what's my attitude going to be? I'm tired of fooling with it. I don't love you anymore. I don't want to put up with you anymore. I don't want to be around you anymore. Yet Jesus keeps coming back for more. So how will I live? In my quiet moments, will I say to God, thank you. You've forgiven me of more than I can. Praise your name. Will we spread the gospel? Jesus was despised for it, so we may be glorified. That's our lesson. What's the point? Think about the holiness of God this week. Think about how my life and my actions measure up to a holy God. And realize that if I knowingly sin against God, I need not expect forgiveness. The only sin for which you cannot be forgiven is the one from which you will not repent. If you've never turned to Jesus Christ, if you've never put your trust and your faith in him, he died for you. He went to the cross for you. Why? Jesus trusted that God would raise him from the dead. Did you ever think about that? The cross is an act of faith on Jesus Christ's part that if I die on the cross, my Father will raise me from the dead. What faith do I have? Should be the same. That if I die in faith, I trust to the one who is faithful. Jehovah God, Lord, forgive me and bring me into the eternal home with you. If you've never become a Christian, that involves confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, putting your faith in him that he is the resurrected Christ, the Son of the living God, being baptized so that you're brought into a right relationship and washed clean of your sins, and God's Holy Spirit will come to dwell in your cleansed vessel and strengthen you and encourage you and comfort you through a life lived toward the eternal life that the Spirit lives in you. what a blessed place it is to be. If we can help you in any way, come forward and receive.